Thanks, Jenny. I thought the reading from the Message version to be just so fresh and bringing such a sort of different illumination to those very familiar passages of Scripture. It's absolutely great. I think that's brilliant, doing that. Absolutely brilliant. Oh, dear. I don't know what to do with this thing. Okay. Thanks, Malcolm. Brilliant. That's better. Okay. Let's please turn to Mark chapter 9. And this little, we're going to share some testimonies together as we go through. And I'm really looking to God to give you kind of words of knowledge that we're going to share later. Okay. And I want, if anybody shares a word of knowledge that is relevant for you, and you think it's safe to do so, please respond, because we want to pray for you later in the name of Jesus. So that's kind of where we're going this evening, okay? And following on, I understand, from this morning, where various people had words of knowledge and various people responded to them, and people were prayed for in the name of Jesus. So tonight we'll be going to look at miracles and healing. And I'm going to be sharing, all right, okay, that's good, that's up there, thank you very much, that's brilliant. I'm going to be sharing some of our experience and some of the things that, you know, that we've been involved with, and some really up-to-date recent testimonies too. And I hope that's going to be faith-building and encouraging. But this story in Mark, verse 14, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. Now, the Son of God, okay, asking a question. Really? Come on, Jesus, you already knew. Or maybe not. Maybe the Spirit hadn't revealed to Jesus what the argument was about. Or maybe the Spirit had. But he knew his father wanted him to ask the question, what are you arguing about? And a man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, he throws him to the ground, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Not going kind of well if you're a disciple of Jesus at that point, is it? You know, you've done your thing, you've come up, you know, you've talked to the Father, you've gained permission to pray in the name of Jesus, and you're going, in the name of Jesus, out, and nothing's happening, and you're stumped and you're scratching your head, and the teachers of the law are gathered round. I told you that Jesus was no good, and you know, and you start arguing, and then Jesus comes along and says, what on earth is going on here? Oh, unbelieving generation, says Jesus. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? Now, there you are, you're in a crowd, okay. Jesus says, bring the boy to me. The spirit in the boy sees Jesus and immediately starts running around. The boy starts running around on the ground, foaming at the mouth. And this is all going on down here. And Jesus calmly turns to the father and says, how long has this been, this your lad been like this? Okay. So when you're faced, sort of like a ministry aside here, when you're faced with that, in your ministry, when you're praying for someone and this kind of thing happens, it does happen, you know, you just got to turn to God quite calmly before you panic about what's happening to the person that you're being praying for. From childhood, he answered, it's often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, says Jesus. Everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Miracles come in all shapes and sizes. God is sovereign, and miracles happen in the name of Jesus as the Spirit enables. I want to talk about three miracles. One, two, three. Three miracles. I want to start with Joel, please. If we could go to Joel. There's Joel. He's a real live boy. He's probably a man now. I think he must be 17 or 18 now. And this happened about 5 years ago. He's a keen trampolinist, and he was part of the, certainly at county level, and he was looking to be part of the Welsh junior squad in trampolining. And he has an accident, and he can't train anymore, and he can't go on his beloved trampoline. He has a lump about the size of my fist, about there, on his leg. And so he hobbles into church one Sunday morning. And as a fellowship, we've been, rather like Welton is right now, exploring the gifts of the Spirit and sort of thinking about, well, why isn't church like what happened in Acts? Why isn't it like that today? And so we were waiting for opportunities to pray for people and see the miraculous happen and seeing God heal. So we prayed for Joel's leg. I didn't have a word of knowledge about this or anything like that. I just put up my hand and said, anybody, you know, who wants pray for healing, put up your hand. And Joel put up his hand. So I went to pray for him. And there's this lump. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And this lump just goes, it disappeared before my very eyes. It was amazing. Of course, we now we're all clapping and dancing and swinging from the rafters. Well, no, not quite like that. But that was the start of something, start of a move of God, where praying for people to be healed became what we did, became part of what we did. And secondly, I want to talk about Christine. There's Christine getting baptised in Penavan Pond. Now, Penavan Pond is at about 1,300 feet. And this was last Sunday. So if you were in the valleys in Wales last Sunday, you would have been completely drenched in cold water. And that's just if you're standing on the bank watching, you know, never mind Christine. And it was a very cold day. You can say that by the woolly hats that the two guys are wearing. The one on the left in the white shorts, that's the pastor, and on the one on other side is Ivor. Both great guys. Now, Jan and I ministered to Christine over a period of years, and God healed her emotionally and physically, so that by herself she was able to catch a bus from Abbot Tulare to Newport and go shopping. She had a. You might see in there that her. Where are we? Left arm is kind of like this. No, she hasn't. She's kind of like, you know. Well. And so Christine was nervous about doing stuff, and she couldn't go on a bus by herself. She thought that was impossible before God healed her emotionally and physically enough to get on a bus by herself. And you know, Christine was really brave, because after she felt that God had healed her, the very next day she decided that she was going to put God to the test. And it says, you know, don't test me, doesn't it? But she said to put God to the test and caught a bus. And she was fine. She believed God for her healing and she was healed. But Christine also thought that she was not good enough for God. So when we had chats about Christine, why don't you get baptized? I'm not good enough for God. God doesn't want me. I'm not good enough. Swear too much. Yeah. I never heard Christine swear at all. But she swore too much. But such a privilege to be part of her journey. And here she is now, a couple of years further on, because this was last Sunday afternoon, last Sunday morning, getting baptised in the freezing cold rain in a freezing cold pond in Wales, in public, declaring to whoever was around that Jesus was her Lord and Saviour. Healing comes in very many different ways. And thirdly, Reverend Richard Priestley, vicar of Ashwick and Oak Hill and Binninger, just down the road. And this miracle was actually last Saturday the 15th of June. And Richard was at his wit's end. And he's at his wit's end because of the weather forecast was so bad for the Saturday. Because it was Oak Hill Fest. And he put such a lot of energy into Oak Hill Fest. It's the main kind of thing that the church does, really, for the whole community. And he's built it up over the years, and it's a really good time. And lots of people had put lots of effort in, and the school puts lots of effort in, and the church puts lots of effort in. And they set it all up on the Friday, ready for Saturday afternoon, and the weather forecast was appalling. And some of you would have experienced that Saturday afternoon, I'm sure. And he's at his wit's end. What's going to happen? It can't rain. It mustn't rain. And so he prays. The forecast said there was an 80% probability of rain. And so he says, Lord, can we be the 20%? Can we be the 20%? And he told me that it was dry. And he could see the storms coming down the valley. See the storms coming down the valley and the clouds just parting. And there's sun over Oak Hill. Poor old Shepton Mallet got it. But Oak Hill had a fine, dry day. And miracles, don't they? Miracle of Joel, the miracle of Christine, the miracle of changing the weather builds faith. Does it not? And Richard builds faith in the one praying. Because when you've prayed and something happens like that, your faith level rises. And what does that do? You expect more next time. So you pray for more next time. And it doesn't happen. No. You pray for more next time and you go on expecting for more. And God is sovereign, but God is gracious. And God is a God of love. And a God of miracles. And it also builds faith in the one being prayed for. Like in our story from the Bible, our account in the Bible, it built faith in the father. The boy was out of it. He didn't know anything about faith. He was rolling around on the floor. Praying for that boy built faith in the father so he could believe for the miracle of his son. And Richard told me, I tell people I don't believe in luck. Because people have come to him since last Saturday and said, oh, mate, you were lucky. It was dry, you were dead lucky. And Richard said, I tell them I don't believe in luck. I prayed and God answered my prayer. My faith has increased. So if you're a non-believer, right, and you have a conversation with Richard like that, you are going to, whoa, what's going on here? And he's had story after story about people saying, well, I can't argue with that. I saw this happen. It was dry. I was there. This happened. I can't argue with that. They're impacted by the kingdom of God. And there's just a little bit of increase in the faith that they might not have. Who is this God that did that? It's Richard's God. It's not my God. But who is he? Now this epileptic boy gets healed. How much faith did the father have? How much faith? I mean, you can imagine it, can't you? The disciples are there. They're doing all their stuff. You know, they've seen Jesus do it. You know, they go, come out in the name of Jesus. You know, they start shouting, you know, at the demon, you know, to drive it out. And it's not happening. They're at their wit's end. They're talking to each other. What do we do? It hasn't worked. What are we doing wrong? And Jesus just comes up and says, out. That's the end of it. Even though the father had this tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of faith. Haven't got time to go into it now, but Jesus always responds to faith. Look at the gospel accounts. Jesus always responds to faith. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. That's the promise, when you seek me with all your heart. Was that father seeking God with all his heart? Yes, he was, because he wanted a miracle for his son. He wanted a miracle. He wanted his child to be better. His father's love for his ill son. He was seeking God with all of his heart. He had a tiny little bit of faith. And Jesus rushed to bring healing. Jesus always responds to God's faith, to faith. So secondly, it's God's nature to heal. God says to Israel, I am the Lord your healer. And this means in the Hebrew, the physician who makes us whole. God is the physician who makes us whole. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who is healer. So it's in God's nature. It's intrinsic to God. It's his essence to bring wholeness. And that's why we see that deeply woven in all in the redemptive story of Israel. It's interlinked all the way through. And you and I can claim God's healing nature for ourselves. Apostle James says, every perfect gift comes from the Father, and the Father doesn't change. The Father hasn't changed after all this millennia. He hasn't changed. He always was the God who brought wholeness. He always was the God who was the healer. He always is Jehovah Rapha. He hasn't changed at all. So God can impact the world through you. He can through you do miracles. Do you know that? Yeah, do you really know that? Then in the name of Jesus, you can do stuff that you've never done before. And you don't have to have super mountains of faith to do it. Just, yeah, I'm going to take Jesus at his word. Yeah, I believe that. In the name of Jesus. So healing miracles in Jesus, thirdly. So Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one. And John testified at his baptism that I saw the Spirit come down and remain on him. Remained on him. And Luke says that after his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness. And he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And Mark says that from that moment on, Jesus started his ministry by telling people about the good news of God. The time has come, he says, and the kingdom of God is near. Change the way you think and act. Believe the good news. Change the way you think and act. And aside, that's what repentance is. You don't have to tell your mate who isn't a Christian to repent. You just have to tell them, do you think there's a possibility of doing life differently? Of thinking differently? Behaving differently? Do you think that's possible? And that's all repentance is, changing the way you think and act. For Jesus, the good news was not just the words he said. It was the miracles he performed. You see, the miracles showed that the kingdom of God is real. And that what he was saying was true. You see, you and I can talk till we're blue in the face to our non-Christian family and friends. Some of them might believe the words we say. But if we turn up with words of knowledge for them, things that they have never told us, things that we cannot possibly know unless God revealed it to us, they're immediately impacted by the kingdom of God, and a little miracle has taken place. And they begin to believe that God is real, that what you've been saying is true. See, Jesus says, in Luke 11, if I use God's power to force out demons, it proves that God's kingdom has already come to you. It proves it. And Peter says of Jesus, "Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him." You see, the miracles of Jesus pointed to who he was. It pointed to Jesus, the anointed one, God's Messiah. But Jesus says, doesn't he, that he can't do anything on his own. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Jesus was anointed enough, had such a close relationship with his Father, that he always saw exactly clearly what his Father was doing. And he always said exactly what his Father told him to say. But Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, reminds us, and this is even true for Apostle Paul and Peter and so on, and it's definitely true for me, we don't see things clearly. This is the Message version again. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. See, we look at our shiny mirrors today and we think, okay, well, we can see ourselves perfectly clearly in the mirror. Thank you. What's the Bible going on about? But no, I like the muddy puddle version as well, you know. But even those can be pretty clear. But squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, sometimes it's only, well, I can only see that far. That's what it's like, isn't it? So yeah, we're trying to listen to God. We're trying to hear the Father's voice. But we don't quite get it right. So we step out in faith, we give this word of knowledge, and no one responds, and it's completely rubbish, and we feel about this big. And so we clam up and we say, well, I'm not going up to the microphone again, not at Welton. We creep away, never to be heard of again. Or we step out in faith and we have that word of knowledge and someone responds. And God turns up and does stuff. And our faith is increased. And we go, yeah, great. And expect more next time. You see, it doesn't matter if you bring a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy or anything like that, a word of wisdom, a word of discernment, anything like that, and it's completely rubbish. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's your own imagination. It doesn't matter if it's completely and utterly bogus. Because God will just go, oh, poof, gone. It just won't mean a thing. But for me, if I get the butterflies in my stomach and a thought goes racing through my head, then that's the time to share. It's not the time to sit there and think, well, if I share it like this, some people might think like that. Well, if I shared it like this, some people might think that. You lost it. Don't overanalyze words of knowledge when you get them. Just go with it. Just go with it. Whatever the picture might be. Malcolm's great at getting pictures. Whatever the word is that you're given. Whatever the vision that's in your head, just share it. Because you've asked God for them, and then these things come in your head or into your mind. Well, why? Because you asked God. And he's given you that. So share that. Whatever that is, don't try and interpret it. Don't try and work it out. Because it might not mean anything to you at all. And your interpretation of it might be completely wrong to the person who it's meant for. And when they hear it, they go, I'm going to respond to that. You see, Jesus spoke with authority, didn't he? And he amazed the onlookers. He amazed the crowds. What kind of teaching is this? They said. And when he sends out the 72 on mission, remember that in Luke 10, he says, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So you're bringing the kingdom when you do miracles and miracles of healing and so on. You're bringing the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come rushing in to that situation and transformed it. And the 72 returned with joy, didn't they? And he said to them, "Behold, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." So don't be afraid if you come across a demon by accident, because it does happen occasionally. God's promised that nothing will hurt you. You're not going to get affected if you touch a person. Oh, it's not going to leap across and get on you. No, no. I know some ministries teach that, but that's not true. That's not what it says in Scripture. Miracles are those kingdom encounters done in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, in accordance with God's given authority. So finally, is that finally? Yeah, finally, miracles are kingdom encounters. You see, before his ascension, what did Jesus do? He told his disciples, teach them, make other disciples, and teach them to do everything I have commanded you. Well, everything I have commanded you is to what? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. So how many of you here have raised someone from the dead? I thought so. I haven't either. Okay? But heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's what you and I have the power and authority to do in the name of Jesus. Right? Because Scripture says that. Whoops. And when we say the Lord's Prayer, what are we actually saying? We're saying, may your kingdom come soon. May your kingdom come. We're calling down God's kingdom when we pray the Lord's Prayer. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done in Welton. May your will be done in Midsummer Norton or wherever you live, even in Peacedown St John, which I'm told, you know, is that kind of place that you don't really want to go to, but there we are. So may your will be done. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, Jesus is inviting us to call down kingdom encounters now, in this realm, in this place and time. Because Jesus has all authority which is passed on to you. Jesus says, all authority is given to me, therefore go. You see, you don't go in the name of Matt H or Matt C. You don't go in the name of me or anybody else. You go in the name and authority of Jesus. You work it out with him. Now, we're not all anointed like Jesus was anointed. And we get things wrong. Now, I know Matt was talking about Elijah this morning. That's what James has to say about Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Okay, he had a sinful nature, in other words. Hands up, who here who doesn't have a sinful nature? All right, I thought so. Okay. We're pretty useless, really, bunch of people, aren't we, really, you know? And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Wow. What a prayer. See, we have the Spirit like Elijah. So we shouldn't be amazed at what God can do in us and through us. And Apostle Paul says this, and I just want to close by looking at this verse. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Okay. You see, Jesus can go way above what we might ask or think, way above what our expectations might be, according to the power at work within us. Well, whose power is that? Well, it's the power of the Spirit. It's God's power. It's Jesus' power at work within us. Now, that Greek word, translated according to, is about distribution or intensity. So Jesus can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the distribution and intensity of his power in us. That's what that verse is saying. So sometimes we think the distribution and intensity of his power in us is very small. And sometimes we feel that it's much bigger. My experience is when we feel that it's much bigger today, nothing happens. But when we feel it's about this big and we're likely to, you know, and are we actually really children of God at all, that actually it's then we have more power. Because we're not relying on ourselves, we're totally relying on God. You see, some folk are chosen and anointed by God for specific tasks. Matt H and Matt C are anointed leaders. We have elders who are anointed leaders. Some people are anointed prophets. Some people are anointed miracle workers. Some people are anointed healers and evangelists and teachers and so on. These people will have a special anointing by God for those given roles. But the good news is, because Paul has said it, that we're all encouraged to go after spiritual gifts. All those wonderful gifts that Jenny read out. And dozens of more besides. See, wherefore we can ask God to work miracles. Because to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He apportions to each one individually as he wills. So I'm going to invite you tonight. We're going to sing something soon and Jenny's going to introduce that. I'm going to invite you to step out in faith. Take a risk of faith. Share something. And I'm going to invite you too that if you want prayer for healing, and I need prayer for healing, I want someone to pray for me, that you would actually put up your hand and someone will go and minister to you. Okay? Some of you are going to minister to one another in the name of Jesus. Okay? Very quick prayer ministry model. Okay? Pray with your eyes open. Find out what it is that you're going to pray for. Pray with your eyes open. Speak to the condition, or whatever it is, to be healed in the name of Jesus. You have his authority to do that in the name of Jesus. None of this, please God, if it be your will, just go for it, you know. In the name of Jesus, I command. Yeah? Then ask for feedback. Has there been any improvement in whatever it is you've prayed for? If there is, give thanks to God for what he's doing and what he's continuing to do. And then continually to pray, asking God how you should pray for full healing. And then if it's safe and appropriate to do so, try and encourage the person to do the thing that they cannot do. So, for example, if you're praying for a frozen shoulder and you pray for them and you say, well, you know, how does it feel? Oh, it feels a little bit better. Well, do you think you can raise your arm? Oh, I can get it to here now. Could you do that before? No, I couldn't. You know, it's better. I can get it further up. Thank God. Ask him how you're going to pray for it to fulfill healing. And get them to do that, if it's only safe and appropriate for them to do so. Okay? Right, Jenny.